Welcome to Back on Air. This is the second season all about Free Britney. Wow, what an episode today. I am joined by two of Britney Spears' biggest threats, according to the tumultuous telling from the Controlling Britney Spears documentary. Of course, my co-host Megan Radford, a mom from Oklahoma, and Kevin Wu, also one of the Free Britney LA advocates and account managers, as well as a giant threat, according to Black Box Security. Oh my gosh, welcome back, Megan, and thanks for being here, Kevin.
Thank you so much for having us.
You guys, Controlling Britney Spears dropped with less than a day's notice. Here it is coming out, and I mean, I was riveted. I was brought to tears. I felt we had revelations that even, you know, us as like longtime fans and people in the movement, my jaw was on the ground. What were your immediate thoughts, Megan? What did you think? Obviously, you were in the documentary a lot. Besides seeing yourself on camera, which I know can be a bit of a mind fuck, what were your thoughts with the documentary and how you thought it played out?
It was so much heavier than I expected. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe what was happening because, I mean, we did know a lot of the information, but to have it confirmed via a New York Times documentary they have such strict fact-checking regulations that like everything that they stated in that documentary was fact-checked 3 times. Plus, Alec, the security guard, or I guess executive assistant to the security team at Black Box, he had hard evidence. So that is like huge in and of itself. He has an entire hard drive of hard evidence that shows the control that Team Con has had over Britney for 13 years and counting. And I just think that that's really going to be impactful in her case in court.
Now, there was a really touching moment of you. I mean, I was there. I remember, you know, comforting you after the moment of you breaking down, listening to Britney's testimony on June 23rd. Reliving that moment was so weird because we were so impassioned as a community of Free Britney advocates. What went through your mind seeing it play back and hearing those devastating words that she just wants more babies? What was going through your mind as you saw this played back months later?
It was really heavy. I mean, I think it's kind of clear from the angle that I didn't realize that I was being filmed. And so I had no idea that that footage existed or that it would be displayed. And so just to see myself break down like that, it's like, it's not often that when you're in a breakdown, there's film of you being in a breakdown, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was really heavy and it was really difficult to watch just the whole thing and just to hear Britney say those words again and see everyone's reactions. I mean, there were so many close-ups of advocate faces in the film that you could just immediately go back to that moment in your mind outside the courthouse on June 23rd. And I just think the New York Times, the way that they did this, the way that they edited it all together was really, really impactful.
It really was. It really did have a nice flow between showing the movement of what we've been doing, boots on the ground, trying to get the word out there. I mean, I was delighted to see a flashback of me from a 2019 hearing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this was before I got diagnosed with leukemia. This was insane. Now, Kevin, you were also part of this documentary, but I'm sure flabbergasted by some of the confirmation, as Megan said, of what was going on. One of the most alarming for me was hearing that Britney's bedroom was bugged, one of your most private sanctuaries. Obviously the phone we had long suspected had been bugged or it was being surveilled and monitored, but hearing about the bedroom was the moment for me where I just got angry all over again. Kevin, what stood out in the documentary to you? What surprised you? I mean, nothing really can surprise you at this point with the conservatorship. You have been thrown so many ringers your way. It's just, nothing surprises us. Did anything shock you in this documentary? What were your thoughts on Controlling Britney Spears?
No, I was totally shocked and disgusted. And, you know, like you said, the recording of the bedroom, that was just unconscionable. And my heart was pounding like the whole time. I was like on the edge of my seat, like wondering what he was going to reveal next. And I think that I agree with everyone who says, you know, nothing is surprising because we already suspected a lot of what was going on. But I do think that is that is a little dismissive to me, because the difference between framing Britney Spears and controlling Britney Spears is that framing Britney Spears, you know, when that came out, it wasn't anything new for people who had been following the movement. Mm. And, you know, that is partially why some people in the movement were disappointed with it. But, you know, and those of us who were excited about it were just excited that the information we knew was being presented to the world. Whereas in controlling Britney Spears, this was actually newly confirmed. It was, you know, there were theories like the iPhone iCloud theory, mm-hmm. you know, that had been floated in the movement before, but it was just a theory. And so to see it actually confirmed and knowing that the New York Times verified it with hard evidence, like that was mind blowing to me. And so to see all of the, like some of these things I did not think would ever be confirmed, knowing that we were being spied on by Britney's team or Britney's conservatorship team being identified as threats. Like, I mean, this is something that, you know, we've suspected, and, you know, to be quite honest, you know, I have been worried for my personal safety. Wow. It's not something I'm really open about, just because, you know, we got to do the work. We got to do the work to free Britney.
What a bombshell it was to have the revelation that Edan, who, by the way, just a side note, is such a little motherfucker. He almost ruined my concert experience long before I even knew about the conservatorship or anything. I was in full drag front row at a Vegas show and came up to me, and Britney smiled at me because obviously I was like having the time of my life. And I still think Britney enjoys performing. That's my own personal take on things. I think it's an escape for her. Anyways, the whole point is Edan came over to me and said, "What the fuck did you say to her?" Starts cussing me out and says, "If you do anything else the entire concert, I'm kicking you out." So I had to sit there front row and just quietly sit at a concert. So I can't stand Edan ever, but I always was under the impression, Edan's a security guard, if you didn't see the documentary, if you're the one person in the world who hasn't seen it. But it was so funny because I was just so conditioned to think he's just so there to help Britney. And he probably was so worried when Britney looked over and was shocked to see a drag queen at her concert, which seems to go, I mean, that seems to be the right place for a drag queen. But anyways, you know, so whatever the case was, I just kind of was like, okay, the reason he is so protective is because he just cares so much about his client. So to me, hearing about how horrible he was to Britney Spears and how faithful and loyal he was just to the concept of like spying on her disgusted me to no end. And the surveilling of you guys, I mean, it's just wild to see your names mentioned on that list. I mean, my friends in this community, and we're just out there. I mean, sometimes we had no idea what was going on in the courtroom. And to, you know, I mean, obviously now we're so connected, but especially at the beginning, we were just like, just wanted our voices heard. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? What were your initial thoughts, guys? Megan, what were your thoughts seeing your name on this list and knowing this was even a possibility of being considered a threat to the conservatorship?
It took my breath away. It was definitely a really startling thing to discover. But I thought the most hilarious part on mine was that it was like, I was described as a young mother from Oklahoma, which I very much appreciate the adjective young.
Yes.
And and then it was like high risk threat, and it was for content creation and dissemination of information. So I think it was like the fact that I'm in marketing and I was creating a lot of materials but anyway, it was just funny. Like so at first I was shocked, and then I was like, this is so validating. And then by the end of the night, I was like, can I put this on my resume? I mean, I'm pretty good at my job.
And Kevin, how did you find out about your inclusion on the Black Box security threat list?
I also, you know, received a text that, you know, my name was in that New York Times article saying that Edan had emailed, you know, considering surveilling me. And, you know, that was my head was blown, you know, and it was legitimately scary. Like, I did buy a Ring camera earlier this year because of my involvement in the movement.
Oh, interesting. Was the Edan revelation or the Black Box revelation of them considering surveilling you, was that new to you just this week with the documentary?
Yes.
And the release? Oh, okay. Yes. So you were already concerned in advance before this documentary. You'd already had kind of just like an uneasy feeling.
Yes, because the visibility, our visibility within the movement, you know, among other advocates, you know, there's several other advocates who are, you know, very visible in the movement. I think that has made us targets for a lot. Like Megan said, it was vindicating to know that the conservatorship team decided that we were a threat to the conservatorship. Because I feel like that tells the world something is wrong with this conservatorship, yeah. And that we, by sharing information, sharing the truth, that we were in a position to take them down.
I think one of the really interesting things is that, you know, there are a lot of people in this movement who hide their identity because of Team Con, and that is totally 100,000% understandable. And there are many times when Kevin and I and others have had discussions like, we wish that we had done that, but obviously it was too late by the time we realized how far we were in. But I also think that without people being willing to show their faces, we wouldn't have gotten as far as we've gotten. So that's just my two cents based on the fact that like people need to be able to, like journalists need to be able to put a face with a name and they want to use your name when they're mm-hmm. reporting. So it has put our personal safety at risk, but I'm grateful because I do genuinely believe that it has helped.
Yeah, it adds to the credibility of the message.
Yeah, absolutely. And with a larger credibility comes larger eyes on the movement and more people wanting to get involved. And when more people get involved, you have more opinions. Megan and I had to deal with this a little bit last week because it was a slow news week and a slow document week. So we were kind of discussing a little bit about in movement kind of arguing or bickering, you know, like I don't believe Sam Asghari. Well, I do. And kind of having to kind of come to this conclusion, well, none of it really matters because none of this argument's going to ultimately free Britney Spears within the next, by her 40th birthday. So, you know, I kind of dismiss it quickly, but I realize a lot of this kind of tension between fans comes when there's not a lot of news cycle happening. So obviously right now, I feel like we're a unified front after this documentary, but do you guys want to speak to any of the flack and the hate that you get from within the fan base? Or is there any message you want to say? I know Kevin specifically, you know, I've heard people say like, why is Kevin in charge? And I've never got the in charge vibe from you. I mean, God knows anytime I show up anywhere, I railroad it and become I am 6'5" and I just become the leader of everything. So I never get that vibe from you, but I can see why people would, because you are very organized. You're planning signs, you're planning locations, you and Megan both are planning these types of things. So I understand why people who maybe are new to the movement or from a different angle would say, you know, Kevin thinks this is his movement, but that's just so not the case. And I just wanted to see, since we're so lucky to have you here, if you wanted to address any of that, even briefly, or just say no comment.
Well, thank you for saying that. I will say I agree with you that that I did not put myself in charge. No one put me in charge. I think that I found that the movement really catered very well to my organizational skills. Like you said, you know, I really just wanted to get more people to come to the rallies. That's really how my platforms have started to grow. I saw that, I mean, I've been a part of this. I mean, we were at the same rally in May of 2019. I don't think we got mm-hmm. a chance to meet each other because, you know, it wasn't like anyone grabbed the bullhorn and said, I'm the leader of this movement. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. We've been saying this for a long time. You know, anyone can say Free Britney and get involved.
Yeah.
We did not ask for the amount of visibility. Again, we didn't ask for the leadership role that many have assigned to us. But I think I feel like we've really handled it responsibly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As someone who had to take a break and deal with my leukemia diagnosis and come back to a much more organized, as you mentioned, we didn't meet, but we were together in May 2019. And then I did a couple more rallies, and then I got sick and disappeared for a couple years, came back, and you guys are just so organized. I just don't, you know, I just don't think any one person is in charge, and no one is. I'm not getting a vibe of anyone co-opting the movement, although I will throw a little shade and say Sam Lufty went through a phase. I mean he's blocked me obviously, but he went through a phase where he co-opted the movement a bit, where he made it the Sam Lufty apology tour. But besides him, I digress about that. I don't feel like anyone's co-opted the movement. We've kept it all focused on Britney. I think, you know, for the most part, all the accounts that I follow and everyone that I interact with, I see the eyes are on the ultimate goal, which is a free Britney Spears. Hopefully, you know, me and Megan have been hoping for before her 40th. So
let me just add that, you know, we advocate, you know, diversity of opinion within the movement. Absolutely. I think if there are opinions that we disagree with, then we completely support other people's freedom to, you know, disseminate that opinion.
Well, and the interesting thing is y'all co-manage with several other people the Free Britney LA account, and the Free Britney LA account is pretty not shit stirry. You know, you guys aren't stirring up a bunch of shit, whereas I'll post something how I'm feeling to my personal account and say I don't trust this person XYZ, but the Free Britney LA account remains a pretty unbiased source when it comes to Britney news, except for the obvious bias, which is we absolutely disagree with the corrupt probate court system of Los Angeles and the corrupt conservatorship and how it came to play. Besides that obvious bias, there is no, you know, you're not posting theories and speculation and you know, you're just reporting the facts on the case, which I think is important to remind followers and listeners and everyone when we're ready to attack the people behind the accounts. Are so a lot of them are just trying to help the movement, so you know,
yeah,
at the end of the day it's not about us, it's, you know, we're just here to exactly. help Britney Spears and to help, you know, everyone else who's fallen victim to this abusive system.
I think the reason why we do that is because A, we all have different opinions, we're four different people, we have mm-hmm. four different opinions. B, you know, until something is confirmed as fact, it's hard to get into the theories when you're trying to educate people about what's going on. You know, especially I think we have a lot of local followers. So it's important for them to understand that this is serious. And so sticking to the facts, I feel like is helpful with that. But I also think that, you know, we have to be, we're not trying to get into the inner movement drama or any of that, because we're just literally any inner movement fighting and things of that nature really just take away from our strength and they take away from our cause. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we've chosen to stay out of that as well, because we are here to educate people on this abusive conservatorship and the fact that abusive conservatorships take place all over this country and help affect change.
I have a yeah. quick story. So recently a journalist asked me about inner movement drama and, you know, infighting and divisiveness. Oh, interesting
that they're even picking up on it.
I turned it back on her. I asked her, well, what do you think? And then she said, well, from the outside, your movement looks like very united and positive. And then I just said, good. And I left it at that.
I love that. And that is the heart and soul of the Free Britney movement. As long as we're all saying Free Britney, I don't care what your opinions are on either of the Sams, any of the Sams in the life, all the Sams in Britney's life, all the Jamies and the Lynns and everybody. I don't care. You know what I mean? It's just like the goal is to free Britney. But unfortunately, as we are recording this, we are missing the CNN special that's being covered tonight. Any quick thoughts on the CNN special? I'm not expecting anything revelatory or groundbreaking. You all are closer to some of the journalists and have more thoughts about it. Any quick thoughts? You know, I'm not sure what we're going to be missing out on by not talking about it the next day, but any thoughts on the CNN project?
Well, full disclosure, we were invited to be a part of it. We were interviewed for it. We have not seen the final product, so we don't know what made the cuts.
Oh, cool.
But we were told that this is, you know, a comprehensive look. So I know some fans were saying, Like, oh, this better not be, you know, starting from Britney's, you know, birthplace, Macomb, Mississippi, I saw. but I think it will be like that. I think they are going to cover Britney's childhood, 2007, kind of all the things that the movement is just sick of seeing. And the reason for that is because the CNN audience is a different demographic and not necessarily one that is tuned in to everything the movement knows about. That said, I believe they did get some insider revelations that will kind of add to the pieces of the puzzle.
So we'll be going live if anything dramatic happens. Megan, what are your thoughts on it?
I think that the CNN demographic is one that we haven't really fully reached. And so I think that it'll be great for them to get the background. We have to remember that it's important to expand our supporters to help have more public pressure. And so I'm looking forward to seeing it. And CNN is very accessible. You know, Hulu, other countries can't get. And this is airing, I believe, all over.
So I don't mind the CNN documentaries. I think they are, you know, these kind of documentaries are needed for the general population. However, there is a bit of controversy with one of the journalists. I believe her name is Chloe Melas, and
Chloe Melas.
Chloe Melas. What is going on with this? What's got her involvement in this documentary, and what has her? Why is there such a concern about her involvement in the CNN project?
So Chloe in particular, she, you know, has been reporting on the Britney story for a while, and she used to report very pro-conservative. It was a very pro-conservatorship take on the conservatorship and on Free Britney. But she has since, it looks like she has changed her tune. She's, you know, just this morning, she did an interview where she admitted that she used to be skeptical of the movement. And so that's why I am confident that the CNN piece, you know, will be pro-Britney and pro-Free Britney. I think that if Chloe were to be more transparent about her reporting and her sources and, you know, how, you know, just she didn't connect with Free Britney until just a few months ago. I think that would go a long way. I think it would go a long way. Yeah.
Megan, what do you think about the whole Chloe involvement in the CNN project?
I think, and I haven't seen it yet, so I could be wrong, but I think that this is her trying to right the wrong of the past. I think she was reporting what she was told, and a lot of us were fooled by Team Con for a long time. So I do think it's important to allow people to learn new information and do better. I'm not sure she could speak out as candidly as some people would like because of the journalism code of ethics.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited to watch it though.
Talk about being excited to watch things. This Netflix documentary that has been much, hyped up. I mean, I've been seeing it on the Dumois gossip site. It was like revealed, and you know, Netflix has such a global reach. It's probably the most global of all the services provided. And I do expect them to do a full, you know, what is that, 190 million country release or something. Are there 190 million countries in the world? The point is Netflix is so huge. So this Britney versus Spears documentary is hyped up beyond anything. I mean, I'm seeing murals being painted here in Los Angeles. I mean, they are promoting the fuck out of it. Guys, do we have any speculation? Megan, do you have anything you want to speculate with the Netflix project? Are we going to see you in it tearfully again?
No, thankfully. Hopefully that's limited to just the New York Times documentary. We'd heard in the past, and Kevin can get into this more if he'd like to, but like we'd heard in the past that we thought that it had a problematic narrative. Mm. And so we'd been kind of worried about it coming out. But I mean, that was years ago at this point, and or I guess more than a year ago, year and a half ago. And I just don't think there's a world post June 23rd where you can do the same documentary that you were going to do before June 23rd if you were planning to come out like in support of the conservatorship. So I'm hoping that they've changed their tune. Director Aaron Lee Carr, in an interview with the LA Times, basically said that they scrapped, and I mean, she didn't say scrap, but she said that they significantly changed it after June 23rd. So hopefully it will be a really powerful piece.
I can't imagine not being pro Free Britney after the court hearings. Kevin, what are your thoughts? What is this about this possible narrative shift? Do you want to go into what you've heard about the Netflix documentary?
Yeah, so I will say that we know very little about it. And God knows I've tried to get information. I've asked, you know, all my friends who worked at Netflix, and they have kept this on tight lockdown. So there's very little that has been confirmed, but we'll, you know, finally find out. That said, I will say, those of, you know, us who've been, you know, familiar with the inner movement, know that there was a group called Lawyers for Britney. They presented themselves as advocates within the Free Britney movement. And then later it was revealed that their motives really were questionable, that they were possibly conspiring with Sam Ingham on a plot to keep Britney under conservatorship, and that they were advocating for a change in the conservatorship team and not termination. So there's lots of evidence of that. Fortunately, wow. Sam Ingham is out of the picture now.
Yeah. Well, and just to jump in there, because our whole purpose of the Free Britney movement is to free Britney fully from the constraints and the shackles of this conservatorship that we find to be corrupt and, you know, not valid. But so what you're
exactly
saying is this account was, or this group was not, they were still supporting Britney's main wish, which is to remove her father, but ultimately keep the conservatorship in place.
And that was the suspicion, and not just by us, many, many people.
Okay.
You know, based on, you know, their actions and their statements, that was the case, that they were, that this particular group that called themselves Lawyers for Britney were not in favor of termination, and therefore not really truly advocating for a free Britney. And we have very strong reason to believe that they worked on this Netflix project. And that is the source of the suspicion about the narrative of this project. Mm. That said, like Megan said, you know, they Erin Lee Carr did admit that she had to change course after framing Britney Spears, probably because the public perception has swayed toward so greatly that there's really no way anyone can promote a narrative that is in favor of keeping Britney under conservatorship.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty ass backwards when her own father, the person who's kept her in this conservatorship and refuses to leave, is even petitioning to terminate the conservatorship. It's really hard to keep your narrative of keep Britney in the conservatorship, which just further goes to prove how absolutely insane all of this is and what a spectacle and a circus and just a joke of and a sham of a court system and a conservatorship that it is, because oh my gosh, the fact that, oh my God, we've already gone down this road. But that is very interesting about the backstory there, because I had heard rumblings of the Netflix documentary, as all of us within the movement have for so long, that it makes sense that they probably had to do quite a bit of, if not reshooting, you know, re-editing or getting newer interviews with people to kind of cover what, you know, like Megan and I talk about weekly. I mean, this case, as soon as we release an episode, something new happens. So I can't imagine being a documentary filmmaker and having to try to go through it. Overall, I'm excited to watch the Netflix. Are you guys excited to see what it's going to turn out to be? Are you feeling nervous? Are you going to boycott it? How are you feeling for the Netflix one?
I'm excited to see it. I will say, to be clear, I do believe that because they changed course, that this will ultimately be a pro Britney piece. And so I'm looking forward to see, and we'll find out soon enough. So
yeah,
I'm really grateful that it was just announced this past week so that we didn't have to wait a long time before, from the first trailer to seeing it. So I'm excited to watch.
Wow, there has just been, this is the documentary time for us Free Britney fans.
And we have a court hearing and we haven't even talked about
it. We haven't even got to the court hearing. So it looks like they've tried to do a follow-up to allow the public to listen to court hearings remotely, how they were doing in COVID times. Megan, what's the deal with the appeal?
Yeah, Chris Melcher and USA Today basically filed an appeal. So originally they asked for the remote audio program to come back, and then Judge Penny said no, and then they filed an appeal and Judge Penny said no again. So I don't think we'll be able to listen remotely, but thankfully we will have advocates inside the courtroom, including our very own Jared. Can I say that, or should we?
Right. Yes, I will be in the courtroom. I am waiting to see, anxiously awaiting to find out how much access I will have to my technology, but I will be within the courtroom for that. And I am very excited to, you know, it's full circle for being in the courtroom, trying to sit in the courtroom back in May of 2019, trying to get in and then being told everyone has to leave. This is a closed hearing. For it now to be so open is just, you know, it's a full circle moment for all of us as advocates, as fans, for Brittany herself. I mean, you know, I think we'll be able to get the noise across without the remote hearing.
Yeah.
Yep. If I don't get kicked out for an objection, you know, I'll pull a full Legally Blonde. So what is going on in the world of Lou Taylor? Because another thing about the Controlling Britney Spears documentary is we finally got some other players in the hot seat besides just James Spears, who, by the way, is too stupid to have thought of all of this by himself. To think that he's the mastermind, you are fooling yourself and your granny, because it's clearly, you know, Lou Taylor, Robin Greenhill, these conniving evil people. What in the fuck is happening with Lou Taylor? I hear she is having a rough week.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think Lou's week is not going too well, because she had a court hearing last week for an employee sued her for wrongful termination, which, if you've ever spent any time reading TriStar Sports and Entertainment's Glassdoor reviews, specifically surrounding the CEO, which is Lou Taylor, they are fabulous, because she sounds like the evil woman that we all know her to be. So I highly recommend, if you haven't done that with your day, then you check that out. But so an employee sued her for wrongful termination. So she had that hearing, which I never heard anything about what happened to it. But in the same week, she had that hearing, which I'm sure was hard for her, poor her. And then she gets named in the New York Times documentary with her pictures flashing on the screen. And it made my heart really happy.
And Kevin, what are your thoughts on Lou and seeing her kind of exposed? And
I mean, I you know, love a good expose. I was honestly surprised that she is getting her due, because I really honestly thought she would get away with it.
Yeah.
And so I love seeing and accountability being served.
Robin Greenhill is somebody that I think has flown under the radar too. I mean, so many of them have, but to see her be exposed was really good. I hope it continues. Like, we need Larry Rudolph to be exposed. Mm-hmm. We need all of these people, because they were all involved, not just complicit, but like actually involved day to day. And former Black Box employee really is responsible for blowing the lid off of that, because New York Times could do that because they had hard proof from him. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that happened. And so I'm really grateful. And to collect so much intel, to take it with him when he left his job, so that he could, I believe personally, it seemed like he wouldn't have made copies of all that stuff if he didn't plan on using it at some point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he wanted to expose them. And I think that's pretty cool. And just a little side note, because I forgot to say it earlier, but he actually reached out to Free Britney LA back in, I want to say it was either late
July.
June. It was early July. So after Britney spoke, and he reached out to us, and he was like, he told us who he was and that he wanted to speak out. And so we got to be the ones who passed him along to Samantha Stark at the New York Times. So it feels good.
Wait, so you're telling me Alex, the black box security guy, who was basically the whistleblower who got everyone to speak out and revealed all this horrible stuff, reached out to Free Britney LA first and asked how to get connected to someone to share his story?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was really crazy, but I'm grateful that he did reach out to us and that we were able to connect him with Sam Stark, because we truly believe that Sam is after the truth. And she obviously, in my opinion, I guess, handled it very well. And the documentary was jaw-dropping, to say the least.
To say the least. Oh my God. Well, before we go, we still have to talk about the September 29th hearing. And as we mentioned, I'm going to be there in person in the courtroom. You all will be out organizing the rally and the protest as always. Kevin, any predictions for court? Any thoughts for court? How are you feeling ahead of 29th?
It's always very hard to predict, but based on the court filings, a petition to terminate the conservatorship on the table, as well as a petition to remove Jamie. I'm going to predict that at the very least, we'll see Jamie's removal. But that said, and I don't want to be pessimistic, but you know, Judge Penny has been very unpredictable in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been 5-minute hearings where they continued all of the issues on the table. And so that is still a possibility. I really don't think that's going to happen. I find it hard to believe Rosengart will let that happen. But I'm saying that just to say that based on experience, it is very difficult to predict what the outcome will be.
Oh God, Brenda Penny, she is a wild card for sure. And hopefully this public pressure has amounted to something, because the world will literally be watching on September 29th. Megan, do you have any hopes? I mean, obviously we hope for a free Britney. Any thoughts, any predictions, any concerns?
I think it's going to be really telling when it comes down to Judge Penny, because after all of the evidence that has been compiled, if she doesn't at the very least, remove Jamie Spears, then we have got to figure out a way to get this case moved out of the LA Superior Court, because she is corrupt. They are corrupt. Like, that's going to be the official tipping point, because there's no reason that she should not remove Jamie at this point, especially with all the evidence uncovered in the New York Times. And, you know, I believe that Matthew Rosengart has all of that in his hands. So it needs to happen, at least Jamie's removal.
Speaking of that, one thing that Alex did point out in the documentary is he really had no idea what the court did and didn't know. So that is something that Judge Penny has fallen back on, is that she gets to pretend that, or no, she has to, she has to consider only what's been presented to her and not what the public thinks. That's the unfortunate part about a corrupt system, is, you know, who, as long as everyone wants to keep the conservatorship going, who is going to present the evidence to Judge Penny? So that's why we were so grateful that Matthew Rosengart was allowed to be hired, because Britney did choose him herself.
Whew, it's going to be a wild week. I mean, you're listening to this, you've already watched the CNN, you've already watched Controlling Britney Spears. We've got the Britney versus Spears Netflix coming out, and then court. Who can come to the rally, Kevin? You organize a lot of these rallies. Who's invited to the rally?
Anyone who can make it. I don't know if that was a leading question, but anyone who wants to support Britney Spears, support conservatorship reform, conservatorship abolition, who wants to support families who are affected by this very traumatic, abusive system. And forgot to mention that we are partnering with Angelique Fossette, who, you know, has been a very vocal reform activist, to organize what we're calling the Unity Rally, because we've invited speakers, you know, who may not have gotten a lot of airtime for their family story, but, you know, has been affected by the probate court, you know, just as, you know, the same as, you know, Britney Spears has. You know, they're very, so many similarities across all of these cases. You know, Britney Spears' situation is not unique. She said so herself, you know, that there are thousands of abusive conservatorships.
Yeah, it's going to be a great rally and a great day. Everyone is welcome. If you're just interested in learning more about Britney's case, if you want to go all the way to the top and discover the corrupt, you know, probate system, please, we invite you to come and be a part of that as well. That is a great thing about this movement. It's people kind of dismiss us at the beginning, being like, what are you doing saving a millionaire? But it's so nice to see that it's moved beyond just helping Britney Spears, but helping so many people who are affected by this travesty in the system, this huge flaw in the system. So I love Angelique Fossette. If you are not familiar, I will put her in the description of the bio so you can follow along her journey with her friend, Nichelle, who's also, you know, was trapped in a conservatorship and Oh my gosh. So that's really great.
This is who's not invited, you know, haters, infiltrators, black box security, anyone who does not believe in the termination of Britney Spears' conservatorship.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, this was definitely a supersized episode for a supersized week. Megan, do you have any final thoughts for our beloved listeners and our Free Britney fellow advocates?
I think it's going to be a really good week. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. And I am just really, really, really hoping that we see some pretty significant progress in Britney's case on Wednesday. And as always, free Britney.
Free Britney.
Free Britney.
Thanks for listening. I'm Megan Radford. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @Meg_Rad.
And I'm Jared Lipscomb. You can find me on Instagram at Jared Lips and on Twitter at Jared M Lips. This episode was produced by Anna Marie Johnson. And please rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. Free Britney.